Hey everybody, welcome to H10, Hunting Tigers English News. This is episode 23, and I am T-Ray, your host. And with me, not as always, but for the first time in months, is...
Wizzo, I'm back. Can you believe it?
Wizzo, you are back. Where have you been, man? It feels like, you know, I even feel like I didn't know where you went for the last little while. How you been?
I've been good, thank you. Just really busy at work. I even missed the opening game. And as you know, technology kind of screwed me up the wrong way between you and I. So, you know, I'm back, you know, work's kind of, the pressure at work is kind of, you know, dying down a little bit. And so I'm able to catch some games and interact more on the website. And so here we are back to the podcast again. So I'm happy to be back.
It's good. Well, yeah, I mean, we all go through those busy times in life. And so I'm glad that you, you survived it and you've still, it looks like you still got all your hair and all that kind of stuff. So that's good news as well. So spring is here upon us in Japan. The cherry blossoms are out. Have you been out to see cherry blossoms yet?
You know, Kiniko, well, my wife ran the, she ran the Kintai marathon. She just ran the 5K at the time. So, you know, we went up to Sanzoku, it's called the Chicken Shack, and they had some cherry blossoms just starting to bloom up there. So pictures, okay. But we haven't been out to the big, you know, festive ones like everybody else has been to.
How about? All right, fair enough. Yeah, we went and checked them out yesterday, but actually I didn't feel like they were in full bloom yet, so I'm hoping maybe we'll check them out again. But, you know, I'm not, I mean, I do appreciate the cherry blossoms, but I'm not one of those people that feels like spring is incomplete without them. And I don't know about you being an American, if you feel the same way or not, but I know with the Japanese, it's just a very, very important kind of time of year. And so, you know, I like to please my wife, and part of that means going to cherry blossom festivals.
Yeah, I'm not big into it, but we'll go out there and I like taking pictures. So I'll take some nice pictures of it, post it, and that's about it. We move on.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. And moving on, we're going to be heading into the baseball season full swing. We've already played 9 games. That means that there's 134 left. We are going to talk about the week that was, and then we're going to really get into our first week of official casting with T-Ray and Wizzo. So again, it's going to be kind of the same old song and dance where we talk about players of the week. We talk about all that kind of stuff. So stick around. It's going to be a fun show. We'll be back when the music ends. All right, Wizzo, so here we go. We are on episode 23, and I think, when was the last one that you were on with me? Was it episode 17, or do you remember?
It was episode 17, January 18th.
There you go, man. So, like, 2.5 months. Unbelievable. Yep. So, anyways, obviously, since then, you know, they had spring training down in Okinawa. They had their exhibition season. They've started the season. I did last week's episode with a couple of guys. I don't know if you got to listen to it or not, but Joe and Patrick did a great job filling in. So it's been a lot of fun just covering baseball as usual. This past week, the Tigers played on the road for all 6 games. They did 3 in Yakult, or against Yakult, pardon me, at Jingu Stadium in Tokyo. And then 3, the series just wrapped up today, against Yokohama Bay Stars, or DeNA Bay Stars, and that was at Yokohama Stadium. How did you do as far as that went? Did you catch a lot of games? Did you just catch a few?
Well, what was disappointing was I missed the first game, opening game, you know, where Messenger pitched, you know, because of work. I think the first game I was actually able to catch was the Wednesday game where we lost 8-4 against Yakult.
Mm-hmm.
Caught the end of that one because I wasn't happy with the ending of that one. So let's see. I think it was the last one. Yeah, Wednesday was the first game I was able to catch halfway through.
Okay.
And then Thursday I couldn't. And Friday, Saturday, I caught those games. So
okay, right on. And then today's, I think you caught part of anyways, because I saw you pretty active on the Facebook page. So all right, well, we're going to get into the entire thing, and we're going to start with Tuesday's game, which was March the 29th, and we were, as I said, we were at Jingu Stadium in against the winless Yakult Swallows, despite the fact that they're the defending Central League champions. And the Swallows brought Tateyama to the mound, who we had a hard time against last season, and we brought our young ace, Shintaro Fujinami, to the mound. Now, this one started a little bit slow for the Tigers. We got nothing in the first inning. No hits, no good news there at all. But despite a hit and a walk allowed to the Swallows, we didn't allow any runs either. The first scoring came in the second inning. Fukudome walked. Gomez got a hit. And then Nishioka got a walk. And then Umeno knocked in two runs with an RBI single to right field. So that was a good inning of ball there. And then that was it for scoring until the fourth inning. In the bottom of the inning, Fujinami got into a bit of trouble, but that also came on an error committed by Matt Haig, followed by a hit, and then a couple of grounders brought a runner in. And I think the error by Haig was actually on a pop-up. I think I missed this, actually. I didn't watch it. I saw the highlights, but it was a pop-up, an infield pop fly, and he and Toritani miscommunicated, and the ball just kind of dropped between them, but it actually was Haig's, and maybe he should have called off Toritani earlier and really gone at it, but I think in the end, he kind of dove at it and missed. Anyways, that was the first run, so that was unearned. Didn't count against Fujinami's record. But then we came back in the fifth, and we made all things right. And Haig started off. He got a hit right away. And then Fukudome walked again. And then the big man, Mauro Gomez, who's been knocked down to fifth in the batting order, hit a three-run home run. So now all of a sudden, the score is 5-1. It's looking good. We're in control. And we move on to the seventh inning, where... again, Haig gets on base. He walked, and then Fukudome hit one to right field, and Haig advanced to third base, and then Gomez knocked him in with a sacrifice fly. So Gomez on the night had two hits, four RBIs. That was a good night for him. By the way, after that, that was all the scoring for the Tigers, but then in the ninth inning, as Fujinami was going for the complete game, and as his pitch count was getting good and high, and... as he started to walk more and more guys, we were getting more and more nervous. But so the ninth inning went strikeout, walk, fly ball, walk, RBI hit, walk. And at that point, actually that last walk belongs to Mateo because Kanemoto said, okay, enough is enough. I know that we wanted to give our ace a complete game in his first start of the year, but 149 pitches is too much. So that was it. Now, they brought in Mateo, he walked a guy, and then he induced a grounder. Game over, 6-2 for the Tigers. Did you catch highlights or any thoughts about that game?
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, I'm trying to think if that was when I made my little post of, Lord Jesus above, please don't ever put me through that again. Because I think Fujinami, I know he wanted the complete game. You could tell. He was at 148 pitches. I was like, just get Mateo in there. Then Mateo came in and just put us all in pins and needles because I think I made a comment. I want O back. But, you know, Mateo made it eventually. He made it through that inning and got the save. But I think I caught the tail end of that game. I think I caught maybe the last inning and a half or so. But, you know, in the end, we got the win. Just Mateo scared me with his pitching, kind of reckless a little bit there.
Can I quote a certain somebody who said, hey, the closer's job is not to be perfect, but to shut the opponents down and to preserve the win? Didn't somebody say that, like, last season when everybody was getting on O's back?
Oh, it's probably James.
Shut your mouth. You know it was you. Anyways, so Mateo came in. It kind of wasn't his fault. I mean, there was two base runners there, and he walked the first guy that he faced, but... you know, the thing with Mateo is he's been pretty stable so far, and we'll get into a little bit more about the games that he was in a little bit. So that was that. I mean, Haig committed his second error of the year, which is really kind of unfortunate, but he's really been doing it with the bat. So, you know, I think a lot of people are willing to overlook the errors and hope that he's able to cut those down and kind of improve in the field as the season goes on. Anyways, so the Swallows fell to 0-4. The Tigers moved up to 3-1 on the season. Of course, at that point, the Yomiuri Giants were still 4-0, so that we were not in first place. And we haven't been in first place all season, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but the Giants are off to a hot start. So game two, we brought Minoru Iwata to the mound, and our opponents brought Naruse to the mound. And in this one, I honestly thought we really made a mess of Naruse last year, and Iwata really had his way with the Swallows for the most part. So I kind of thought it was going to be a cakewalk for us. But I also forgot that Iwata does not get run support from the Tigers. And you can talk about Messenger not getting run support, and you're not wrong, but Iwata suffers just as bad, if not worse, than Messenger if you look at a longer span of games. In any case, Iwata was not at his best here at all. He actually put men on base every inning that he was in. I guess his best inning was the first, where he only allowed one hit, and then he induced a ground out double play. But in the second inning, he allowed a run on a double. And then in the fourth inning, he allowed a solo home run. But actually, just before that, we got a solo home run of our own, and you had a clever nickname for certain Matt Hague's home runs. And if you want to share with the folks, you can.
Well, yeah. I was sitting there, you know, just trying to think to myself, you know, what can we nickname Matt Hague's home runs? Because it was his first home run. And I sat there and I was like, okay, you know what? Hager Bomb. You know, just like Jager Bomb is a drink, you know. So I said, Hager Bomb. It sounds pretty cool. So I hit him up on Twitter and I was like, hey, from now on, every time you hit one of those, I'm going to call it a Hager Bomb. And he was like, love it. And I said, I'll start posting it everywhere, not realizing that all his followers probably had just seen it. So that's what I'm going to do from now on is, and I encourage everyone else to, you know, every time he hits a home run, call it a Hager Bomb and, you know, take it from that point.
Well, okay, but for those of us that don't know what a Jager Bomb is, it really is, I mean, it's cool. It's got a good ring to it, but I didn't get the cleverness of it until you explained it to me fully, so pardon my denseness. Anyways, so that was that. Hague tied the game up in the top of the fourth. They took the lead back in the bottom of the fourth. And then Iwata kept pitching through the sixth inning. And in the sixth inning, he fell apart. The inning started with, let me see. It started with a fly ball. And then it was hit, RBI double, solo home run, ground out, walk, hit, walk, RBI single. And then he got pulled. So he allowed 5 runs in the inning. Actually, again, pardon me, he got pulled before that. I think he got pulled at the walk. And then Tsuru came in and allowed the 2 RBI single. That was it, to Hatakeyama. That's right. And then Tsuru induced a pop foul to catcher to end the inning. Anyway, so Iwata was in for 5 of those runs. And then the 5th and 6th scored when the relief could not hold the guys on base. But Iwata's line, 5 2/3 innings, 11 hits against, 2 home runs against, 4 walks, and 3 strikeouts, 7 earned runs. Not quite the ideal start for Iwata, is it?
That is horrible. I mean, honestly, the season just started. How do you start out that bad? I mean, again, last year I went to a game, and what happened? That was when me and you went, and
yep,
he got beat. And then I went on my birthday, and he played SoftBank and got beat. So, honestly, entering this game, I was like, I don't feel good about Iwata. I felt bad about Nomi, and he surprised me. So, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, we know you're not an Iwata fan. I am to an extent. For one, I admire the fact that he's fighting diabetes and still playing the game, and for the most part, playing it at a very high level. I admire his toughness. I think that he's the kind of pitcher that despite the fact that he does get hit around quite a bit, he's still able to tough it out. Like, he actually usually pitches better with guys on base than he does with the bases empty, it seems. But today, on that day, the Swallows got the better of him. It was the first win of the season for the Swallows. Sorry, I didn't even get to the end of the game here. Tsuru allowed another run in the 7th inning on 2 hits. And then when it was too late anyways, Hague hit a double, Fukudome walked, and Gomez hit his second 3-run home run in 2 days. So we got 3 runs on the board in the top of the 9th when the score was 8-1 and ended up being an 8-4 loss, as Wizzo told you earlier. So the hits in this game, 14 for the Swallows and just 5 for our Hanshin Tigers. Yeah, not great. Not great.
Not great, but Gomez is starting to really become impressive.
See, the thing with Gomez is, and I was going to save this for later, but I honestly don't care if the guy hits, you know, $2 or $220. As long as he's, you know, delivering the big shots. And so far, he has been doing it. He has been walloping the ball. He's still whiffing, but he's walking at a pretty good clip as well. And I really like to see that. I'm really impressed with that side of his game, actually, this season. I'm not necessarily one of those guys that says, oh, what's wrong with Gomez? He's only hitting .221 on the year, which is what he's hitting right now. But he's also leading the league in RBIs. So, let's cut him some slack. He's got 14 RBI in 9 games. And then he's got, I think he's got 12 strikeouts and 7 walks. I could be wrong. I need to look it up. But not a bad ratio anyways. Not a bad ratio at all. That was game 2. That was, again, the first win of the season for the Swallows. It was the second loss on the year for the Tigers. And things were looking a little bit iffy heading into the rubber match, which featured Randy Messenger coming in on 5 days rest to face their new pitcher, Kyle Davies. And I don't know if you caught this game, but like just ridiculously exciting start to it. One pitch. And Takayama said, "Welcome to Japan, Kyle Davies. And I'm going to hit my first career home run off of you in your first career pitch in your face." And that's what happened. Takayama with a home run, Yokota with an infield hit, Haig with a walk, and then two batters later, Gomez with an RBI. It was a ground out, but it was an RBI because Yokota was on third base. It was a 2-run inning for us to start the game, and that's really exciting, except for the fact that Messenger gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the inning. He walked a guy, allowed a double, so runners were on second and third with 2 outs, and then he allowed another double, and that was that. Tie game, 2-2. Next up, the Swallows scored again. They took the lead in the bottom of the fifth when Yamada, last year's triple three boy, hit an RBI double after Kawabata hit a double of his own. So Messenger kind of got hit around in this one as well. Particularly doubles. I mean, he gave up 4 doubles on the day. And that was only through 5 innings. But actually after that, he pitched a clean 6th inning. And then he was done for the day. They brought in a pinch hitter in the 7th. And one of the reasons that they did that is because... When the inning started... Oh, yeah. He was supposed to lead off the inning at the plate. But obviously, with his pitch count already at 115, they decided that they didn't want him going 7 innings, especially, you know, because he was due up. I think maybe if he wasn't due up, they would have given him a 7th inning to throw. Anyways, nothing became of the pinch hitter. But after that, we rattled off 3 straight hits, followed by 2 straight walks, followed by a sacrifice fly, and then another walk. It was a pretty cool inning. We scored 3 runs, including an RBI by Haig, and then bases loaded walk with for Gomez, and then a sacrifice fly for Toritani. So all of a sudden we're up 5-3. But in the bottom of the inning, we had 3 relievers combined to stink. Takamiya, Sayuchi, and Takahashi each got 1 out, but between them, or during that time, they ended up giving up 2 runs. Once again, Kawabata with a single, Yamada with an RBI, and Yuhei with another RBI. So the game was tied at 5. And so that eliminated any chance that Messenger had of winning. Technically, he got 5 runs of support because they scored the 3 runs in the top of the 7th just after he was pulled for a pinch hitter, but it still counts as run support for him, and he was still in place to get the win until the relief blew it, which again is a real shame, right? I mean, finally he gets more than 2 runs, and look what happens.
Yep, kind of, we can't say a whole lot now about run support. He gets it, and then,
Yeah.
I'll save my comments about the relievers later, I should say.
Sure. Thanks. But, you know, Messenger really has not looked his best this season so far. In the first game, he allowed, I think it was 10 hits and walked 6 guys. In this game, he was a little bit better. He only allowed 5 hits and he walked 2 guys. However, like I said, 4 of those 5 hits were doubles. He also had a wild pitch. And just, he wasn't able to kind of hang in there when he needed to. So he gave up 3 runs again on 6 innings of in 6 innings of work, which technically was what he did last time, except that he allowed 4 runs, 3 of which were earned. So his ERA on the season is 4.5. It's not going to get him farmed, but it's certainly not going to get him accolades or, you know, it's not going to get him very many wins on the year. So the game went on after that. Anyways, Fukuhara pitched a clean 8th. Their relief was pretty splendid as well until the top of the 11th. But something interesting happened before that, and I want to talk a little bit about that. That was that Mateo came in the 9th, and he struck out all 3 guys in succession. And then in the top of the 10th, we had Nishioka, Okazaki, and then the pitcher due up to hit. So Nishioka strikes out, Okazaki grounds out to short. The 2-out space is empty, and they've gotten 1 inning out of Mateo, and he got 3 strikeouts, and he's looking great, and we don't know how long the game is going to go. So Kanemoto decides, instead of pinch hitting for Mateo, let's put him up at the plate, because that way we can get at least another inning out of him. Well, Mateo actually went 8 pitches and ended up flying out to second base, but he actually looked pretty good up there. I mean, I would almost say, like, you know, let's farm one of our weenie hitters and let's let Mateo hit every now and then. What happened then is that the bottom of the 10th, Mateo, he walked 1 guy, and then something else interesting happened. After he walked Yuhei, I guess he complained that the ball was slipping out of his hands, and I'm not really sure what else he explained, but all of a sudden he started to throw warm-up. And Wiz, I don't know if you've ever seen any pitcher throw warm-up mid-inning, other than if he's, you know, maybe injured himself and he needs to get a little bit of treatment, then he comes back and throws a few pitches. But that didn't happen in this game. And then he threw warm-up, and so the Swallows manager came out and said, like, what the heck, man? Like, why are you letting this guy throw warm-up? But it was kind of too late at that point. Anyways, did you see that, or have you ever seen anything like that before?
No, this game, you know, I read the threads on the webpage, and it was just so disappointing. You know, I considered it a loss for us, but I did read an article on Twitter where the coach came out and they're complaining about, you know, warm-up pitches. I never would have even thought of a rule being where, hey, you know, you can or cannot throw warm-up pitches at any period of time, you know, except for obviously when you come in from the bullpen.
Right.
So I guess it's a pretty big deal.
Well, I mean, it didn't really become a big deal after that because it was just like, well, I mean, there's nothing that can be done about it. But I mean, it's just one of those unusual things. I've never seen that before. I've never seen a pitcher throw a warm-up after walking a guy. Because he can't. You just can't. After that, he ended up getting out of the inning cleanly. They gave him a free out on a bunt, and then he induced a grounder and an infield pop-up. And so he got through the 10th. And then the 11th, we got a run. So we took the lead 6-5. And we got the run thanks to 3 walks, a hit and 3 walks, pardon me. Their reliever just had terrible control. Maybe he could have used some warm-up in between batters or something like that. Because he walked Haig, then he induced a ground out, and then he walked Gomez, and then the bases were loaded because Takayama had gotten hit. And then he walked Toritani with the bases loaded, and so that's an RBI, and that's a run scored, and we take the lead. And here's where the controversy again comes in. Mateo's already thrown 2 innings, and he looked a little bit shaky in that 10th inning. Like I said, he started with a walk, and then he had to warm up again. Well, the 11th did not go so well for him. He started with a strikeout, but then he went walk, RBI double. So we've got a guy on second with 1 out. He walks another guy. It's runners on first and second. They get a ground out. It's runners on second and third. He intentionally walks the next guy, so it's bases loaded. And then he induces a ground out to end it. But the Swallows tied the game, so it's 6-6. Meanwhile, because of the struggles that he had in the 11th, Mateo went 61 pitches, which essentially means if you need him the next day, possibly the day after, forget about it because he ain't going to be able to pitch. Well, the 12th inning, the Tigers came up with nothing. They got one hit. Cano got a pinch hit single, and then they did nothing with it. And then at the bottom of the inning, they brought in Okida in order to try and keep the game tied, and that's exactly what happened. And Wiz, you're disappointed that this ended in a tie. You said it's more or less a loss for the team. Any other comments?
Yeah, I take it as a loss. You know, as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, we got the elite. No, we lost it. Oh, we got the elite. No, we lost it. I mean, it's a loss. We had the game won twice. We just couldn't hold it, you know, and the relievers, you know, they're kind of shaky so far. So it's, you know, we can't have these kind of games, you know, because, you know, this one of these games later on down the road could be the make or break as far as us getting into the postseason, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of time left, plenty of time, but this is not a good way to, you know, play baseball, you know, have a lead, lose it, have a lead, lose it, and then end in a tie, you know?
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. One of the pluses that I'll take out of this is the fact that the Tigers actually got 10 walks. I think they've got good eyes this year, man. Seriously. I mean, they got 10 walks to 8 strikeouts, and if you're walking more than you're whiffing, you're doing something right. You're doing something pretty good. So to their credit, I mean, they did have that going. Both teams had 20 men on base total in the game and ended up scoring 6 runs. And so it was kind of even in that sense. For me, it was a real entertaining game to watch. I missed a little bit of it, but I enjoyed the drama of the game. I enjoyed the kind of controversy around Mateo. I enjoyed his at-bat. I enjoyed him struggling even through the third inning and wondering, like, Kanemoto, are you sure? Really? Like, did you consult with Yano? Did you consult with one, you know, the pitching coaches? Did you consult with Mateo? But, you know, that's all speculation on our part. I mean, we could say, like, oh, what a dumb move. But we don't know what goes on in the dugout or what communication was going on or what he had in mind. So I'm going to actually accept that. I'm definitely going to accept that. It's unfortunate, you know, that what happened happened. But, you know, a tie is better than a loss. I'll say that. I would rather the team tie than lose. And, you know, I think people may disagree with me on that, but that's where I stand on that. Okay, oh, sure. In Tokyo at Jingu Stadium, we went 1 win, 1 loss, 1 tie. So we split the series completely evenly with the Swallows. And, you know, based on last season series, we went 13-12 against the Swallows. You know, that's about par for the course, really. I mean, you know, we're pretty evenly matched teams for some reason, despite the fact that really I think they've got a little bit more talent on paper. So I'm kind of happy that we split this one, especially on the road. Last year, I was just looking back at our records, and overall, we were, as a team, 18 games below 500 on the road. 26-44-1. And at home, we were 44-27-1. What a huge difference, right?
Oh my goodness, that's a horrible road record. But just to kind of just a little touch on, I think it comes down to Kanemoto and his staff that he has and the changes they made. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too involved in that right now, but I think we're starting to see him influencing the team. You know, taking them in the right direction. You know, I'm liking it. So, but yeah, mm-hmm. That was a horrible record last year. Good Lord, I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah. Yep, it was. Okay, so let's move on. The team moved on as well. They just went next door to Yokohama to play 3 against the DeNA Bay Stars. The Bay Stars last year finished 6th, and, you know, they're looking on paper like not too different of a team this year. They do have a new manager, not Manny Ramirez, but Alex Ramirez, and Rami is a legend in Japanese baseball. If not the most successful foreigner in the history of the game, certainly in the top 3. And it's always been his dream to manage in NPB. And so he, you know, his dream has come true. And actually, I picked them to finish 3rd this season, partly because of him and partly, I think, just because their team is going to mature a little bit. Well, anyways, and if you listen back to last week's podcast, I actually picked the Tigers to win 2 out of 3 in this series. Spoiler alert, I was right. Okay, so anyways, game 1, we brought Nomi to the mound, and they brought Eno to the mound. And Eno is probably one of their better pitchers, and he had pretty good success against us last year, despite, I think, maybe having a losing record against us. And this one was a pitcher's battle right from the start. I mean, the Tigers could not get men on base consecutively in any inning except for the fourth. That was the only inning that we actually had any sort of threat going on. In that inning, Fukudome hit an infield hit to pitcher. I remember it glanced off of the pitcher's glove and went down between second and short. The shortstop picked it up and the throw was not in time. Anyways, Toritani walked, so runners on first and second with two outs. And Nishioka coming through with his very first and so far only RBI of the season. So it's 1-0 Tigers at this point because Nomi has been perfect through four innings other than an error by Nishioka. And I missed that. I didn't get to see it. But other than that, Nomi had no walks and no hits allowed through four innings. So it was 1-0 through four innings. And the Tigers, the rest of the way, got one hit and one walk. That's it. I mean, Ino, I guess, was on top of his game. And then they brought in Suda in the ninth inning. And he was good enough to mow us down 1-2-3 in the ninth. So fast forward, Nomi started to get into a bit of trouble. Not really, but he allowed a hit and a walk in the fifth. And then walked a guy in the seventh. And then he allowed two hits, including an infield hit in the eighth. But as far as I know, nobody got past second base. Almost sounds like teenagers dating here. But anyways, nobody literally got past second base, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe they did get a guy to third base. I don't remember. In any case, after eight innings, the score is 1-0. And Nomi, I believe at this point, had thrown about 104 or 109 pitches, something like that. And again, here comes controversy, especially in retrospect, where people said, why did you leave Nomi in the game, Kanemoto? Why are you so insistent on complete games? And again, I'm just going to say this. We don't know what communication is happening in the dugout. We don't know how Nomi was feeling. We don't know how the bullpen was feeling. But we certainly know that the day before, we taxed them to the max. And so it was going to be tough to get a lot of support from the bullpen in this game anyways. But on the very first pitch that Nomi threw in the bottom of the ninth, he allowed the game-tying home run to Tsutsugo, who's their slugger. And then he got an out, another hit, another out, a walk, and then that was it. That was the end of his night. So he threw 127 pitches. He labored at the end especially, but he has a great final line. 8 2/3 innings, only five hits, three walks. And he struck out seven. But unfortunately for him, Sai Uchi came in relief and he threw two pitches. And the second of those pitches was enough to score the game-winning, game-ending run. So it was 2-1 loss. It was kind of a heartbreaker for the Tigers as they, they held on tight through the whole game. And Nomi pitched such a jam until the ninth inning. And people wondered, why did he stick with Nomi? But any thoughts on that game, Wiz?
Why did he stick with Nomi?
Thanks for stating the obvious.
I was so mad. I mean, first of all, I'm impressed by Nomi in this game. I mean, every time I was reading, because I was at work, I'm reading it, and I'm just like, wow, good on Nomi. I really thought he would have been worse, in worse position, fighting out of jams. It was really good. I was like, heck yeah, Nomi, good job. And then the ninth inning, I'm just like, I know we've seen Nomi before. He gets tired. I was like, I think it's time to pull him. No, they keep him in. And the first pitch is gone. There's the tie game. And, you put Sayuchi in a position where it's like, hey, man, you got a runner on and, good luck. Here you go. And it's over. So,
yeah, it's really hard to blame Sayuchi for that because the outfield was drawn in.
Right.
Because they were trying to hold the runner on second. And the ball was hit over their heads and they had no chance. And certainly it could have been an out if they'd played normal outfield or, it's kind of hard to say, but.
Yeah, it was kind of in between them. I don't think they would have had maybe, but I doubt it. Either way, I was impressed by Nomi. Great job. But as I said on the page, we have relievers that get paid, to save games, so bring them on in. Whoever we got, throw them in there. But
okay, so here's my counter argument, and I'm actually going to side with Kanemoto or the coaching staff on this one. I'm going to say, it wasn't the wrong move to keep Nomi in, and again, I might be the only one in the world that thinks this, but I'll tell you why. First of all, because of what happened in the previous game against the Swallows, where they did bring in their relief for a total of 6 innings. So everybody pitched a certain amount, or quite a bit, I should say. Sayuchi's the only one that was maybe reasonably rested. And then also, it's not just who played that game, it's also looking ahead. Because Kanemoto and the coaching staff knew that the next day they were bringing in kind of a wild card in a sense, or a dark horse. They knew they're bringing in their 6th starter, so they were maybe thinking, we're going to need our bullpen on Saturday. There's a good chance we're going to need it. And I don't think that's showing mistrust in a pitcher. I think that's just being realistic. And then also Sunday, they've got Kyuji Fujikawa, who, I don't know if you know this, but they've basically said, give us 6 innings in your starts and we're cool. You know, like, they're not really expecting more than that. And we'll get to his game in a little bit here. But I'm thinking that, you know, they used 6 innings of the bullpen on Thursday, and then they had potentially 3 and 3 Saturday and Sunday of using the bullpen. So I'm thinking maybe they're looking ahead, going, okay, we want to make sure that we've got guys in the pen that can play those 2 games where we're definitely going to need relievers. And let's just try and get through this one with Nomi, was I think they're thinking. I could be wrong, but that's why I support the move. And I don't think it was necessarily a terrible move. You know, in retrospect, yeah. You know, we lost the game. Nomi gave up the home run. But who's to say that Sayuchi wouldn't have given up a home run to Tsutsugo? I mean, the guy's a slugger. The guy hits home runs. I don't think it was a fatigued Nomi, necessarily. It could have been anyone. It's Tsutsugo, you know? That's just me, though. That's just my opinion. And so feel free to disagree, as you already have. And if you have any counterpoints, go for it.
No, I don't have anything. I mean, you do make a good point, you know, looking at the next couple of games. But, I just think, you know, like I said, we got relievers, put them in there. And, you know, sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't, as we saw last year blow a lot, actually. Yep. But hey, it is what it is. Like you said, retrospect, we lost the game, move on. But boy, that hurt. That's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so anyways, just for the record, on Thursday, the day before, they did burn through everybody in the bullpen except for recently recalled Kazuyuki Kaneda, and certainly I wouldn't have trusted him with the 9th inning, and it's a good thing because, we'll talk about him in a little bit. Anyways, maybe they just didn't feel like they had that arm that they needed in the bullpen in the 9th, or, you know, they could have gone with Fukuhara, but again, it's retrospect. So let's move on, just like the Tigers did. You know, Saturday's game was an afternoon game, and former Tiger Yasutomo Kubo was on the mound for DeNA Bay Stars, and we brought Yuta Iwasada, who was a first-round draft pick in 2013 or 2012. I forget. Shame on me. It was 2013. So Iwasada has not gotten a lot of starts in his career. He seems to throw reasonably well at times and then quite poorly at other times. I think he only had 1 career win on record heading into this one. So again, like I said, it was kind of one of those unknown type of deals where it's like, well, we don't know how he's going to perform, if he's going to be able to get through 6 or 7 innings, or if he's only going to be able to give us 3 or 4. And again, you know, the Bay Stars are a pretty potent lineup, so maybe they were thinking about that. Well, anyways, Kubo brought his best stuff, man. Kubo was pitching really well for the Bay Stars. And he held us to very minimal action through 5 innings. We had 2 hits and a walk. Nothing in the same inning, so we only had 1 base runner per inning in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and that's it, through 5 innings. On the other hand, Iwasada, after a first inning jam, and we'll talk about that right now, he allowed a leadoff hit, struck out a guy, got another out, and then Tsutsugo, again, he of the home run, hit. He got the second hit of the inning. So now we've got runners on 1st and 3rd, and Jamie Romack, recently acquired by the Bay Stars, up at the plate with 2 outs, runners on 1st and 3rd. Well, fortunately, I guess, for Iwasada, Tsutsugo decided to try and steal 2nd. Now, he's not exactly fleet-footed, but Ramirez said after the game it was an attempt at a double steal. The Tigers read it perfectly, and what happened was Umeno threw the ball to 2nd base. Tsutsugo realized, like, oh, I'm out. But instead of sliding in or instead of being tagged, he tried to delay so that the runner at third could make it home before the tag, because that would have given them a run. Well, it didn't work. Nishioka is significantly faster than Tsutsugo, and he was tagged pretty quick. So that was that. Iwasada got out of that inning. He was clean the next two innings, and then he ran into trouble again in the fourth. Strikeout followed by a single and a double and a walk. So the bases are loaded with one out. However, he induced a foul fly that Nishioka ended up catching, and then he struck out their number seven batter to get out of the inning. And that was that. They didn't score. And then fifth, sixth, and seventh, Iwasada was just on fire. He went line drive, strikeout, 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 pop foul, strikeout, strikeout, fly to center, strikeout to end his outing. So he ended up with 12 strikeouts, which is obviously a career high. It's a team high for the Tigers this season. He only went 108 pitches, allowing four hits, one walk. And like I said, 12 strikeouts, no runs. And he was in line for the win because in the sixth inning, the Tigers finally came to life. Yokota with a hit to right field. Fukudome with a hit to right field. Gomez intentionally walked. Actually, what happened was Kubo went down 3-0 to Gomez. And then he just threw the fourth pitch way out of the zone on purpose. So it wasn't like an intentional walk right from the start. Anyways, bases loaded now, two outs, and who's coming up to the plate but our captain, Takashi Toritani, he of the 0-for-26 slump, which was a career worst for him. I think you were on the Facebook page then, Wizzo, and I think you remember a lot of people saying a lot of negative stuff about Toritani, and usually I'm the one that leads that brigade, but I actually said, watch, he's going to shut you all up. He's going to shut all you haters up. And sure enough, he did. He hit a kind of line drive or whatever that got past the shortstop and into center field. And I remember talking to a Baystars fan, and he said, oh, you know, the infield was drawn in, and, you know, that was such a stupid call or whatever. But if you look at the replays, the shortstop that the ball got past, he was about 3/4 of the way towards the outfield on that infield dirt. So not exactly what I would call a drawn-in infield. So I'm not sure what he was talking about. Anyways, it was a clean hit by Toritani. It was his first hit, again, in 26 at-bats. It was, in a sense, his first legitimate RBIs of the season. He had two previously, but one of them came on a bases-loaded walk, and one of them came on a sac fly, you know, which are actual RBIs, but this was the first one that actually landed him on base with a hit. So good for him. It's 2-0 Tigers now, and we coasted through the 7th and 8th. And Fukuhara pitched the eighth, and Mateo, who was still maybe fatigued, we're not sure, but they said, okay, well, you know, we'll bring in Mateo for the ninth. But in the top of the ninth, the Tigers exploded again. We went hit from Nishioka, sacrifice bunt by Umeno. Yay, the bunt is back. Kano got hit by a pitch, and then Takayama drove in two runs with a double. And then we got a grounder. Haig got a single, and I think that one scored a run as well. I could be wrong. And then Fukudome walked. Yeah, so it was a beginning. It was a beginning. And the game ended with a Gomez strikeout, or at least our part of the game ended with a Gomez strikeout. And then at the bottom of the inning, since it was 5-0, we were like, well, we don't need to bring in Mateo to preserve a 5-0 lead, so we brought in Takamiya, who had choked in his previous two outings, and he went clean. He went 3 up, 3 down, so good for him. Game over, 5-0 Tigers. They only allowed 4 hits on the day, and I think you caught a lot of that game, right, Wiz? What did you think of the Tigers' play?
This was Saturday.
Yep.
And Saturday at work was insane, but I think I read more, and the reason I believe I read more than this is because I was... Iwasada, I don't think I've seen pitch, but just reading it, getting strikeouts and left and right to have 12 strikeouts, that's amazing. That's really good. And I've never seen the guy pitch. So,
well, you think about it. He had 21 outs, right? Cause he went 7 innings. So 12 out of 21 were strikeouts. I mean, yeah, like you said, very impressive.
Yeah. Really impressive. And so, I missed the majority of this game. I think by the time I actually got home, it was around the time, you know, the Toritani talk was going on, because I said, wow, is he that bad? And then I looked at Nishioka's stats and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's just as worse, you know, just as bad. So I didn't get to actually see this game. I just, you know, was reading through the thread on the page, but
okay.
I was glad to see Toritani actually break out of the slump. We need him. He's nicknamed the captain for a reason, and over 26 is not the reason.
Well, it's not just nickname. He actually is team captain, but yeah. Over 26 career worst slump for him. And yeah, what a way to break out of it, and what timing on that. So yeah, good on him.
Yeah, it's good to see Iwasada do good though, man. That was really great.
Well, it's a huge relief just because you know, we have five guys that we consider, you know, unmovable in that pitching rotation. But as most of us know, the Japanese game tends to have six pitcher rotations, right? So it's good to have that sixth guy that's actually going to be able to, you know, put together a solid outing for us once a week.
That's true. Yeah. Last year we had, you know, we relied on Fujinami, Iwata, Messenger, you know, so, you know, Fujikawa, you know, Iwasada, it's some kind of new names coming up, you know, and they're doing pretty well. So I don't want to jump the gun here on Fujikawa, but.
Well, Fujikawa, yeah, of course, is not a new name in the sense that, I mean, he did play for the Tigers for, 13 seasons? 14 seasons. But he's been away for 4 years. So in that sense, he's a new name, and he's also new in the role of starter because he started a bit towards the beginning of his career, but he was, he was the best reliever in NPB for, a good 4 or 5 year stretch, in the first decade of this new century. Anyways, yeah, I mean, it is good to be able to have these guys that we can count on. And you know, we'll see. I don't want to jump the gun on Iwasada and say like he's definitely cemented his spot in the rotation or anything like that. I mean, he's had one good outing, and we're happy, but we're not going to necessarily pen him into the starting rotation. I would say pencil him in, certainly for next week's start and maybe beyond, but let's see how things go because he's pitched well before. So let's see how he does. And hey, you know, looking at guys like Iwata, I mean, do we know for sure that he's going to, you know, stay in the rotation all season? We don't know. I mean, if he pitches the way he did against the Swallows, he ain't going to be there very long. And, you know, he's hemmed right now between Fujinami and Messenger. So that means he's going to be facing all of the tougher opponents. He's going to be facing the Swallows again once more this month. And then he'll face the Giants twice this month. And so, I mean, if he can't handle that heat, he's going to be sent out of the kitchen pretty fast too.
Yeah, and you got the Carp coming up, and it's not like they're, you know, they got some hitters. You know, we've seen Eldred burn us and Kikuchi burn us, so yeah, he's got to be ready. He's got to improve.
Well, he's not facing the Carp. I mean, they're playing the Carp actually 2 weekends this month, and so he's not in the Friday through Sunday set. He's in the Tuesday through Thursday set. You know, he's got to worry about the Swallows and Giants, and once he'll be facing the Bay Stars as well once. But anyways, yeah, let's see what happens as far as our rotation goes and whether or not he can stick it out. I hope he can, because like I said, I do like Iwata. I do admire him. Again, not only because he's fighting a disease while playing, but also, I mean, he does a lot of good charity work and he just seems like a really good guy. And he's a local. He's from Osaka, I believe. And so, you know, the team does like to have their local Osaka and Hyogo guys. And, you know, we've got our fair share. And it's nice to see them succeed for sure.
Yep, we just got to wait and see. Got to wait and see.
Yep, exactly. Okay, let's move on to the final game of this week. And like you said, Kyuji Fujikawa was on the mound. And this was his second start of the season. We had Umeno catching for him, as we have since exhibition play. Last Sunday didn't go so well for Fujikawa. He ended up really struggling, despite the Tigers winning. He did not get the decision because he left after, I think it was partway through the fifth inning, or maybe, no, it was maybe into the sixth inning. Anyways, not a good one for him. So people were kind of wondering, like, is QG, you know, well suited to be the starter or not? Well, the Tigers, again, I don't know, man. Last season, they just could not for the life of them score in the first three innings of the game. But this team's different, man. The first inning, they came in and Takayama with a hit. He advanced on a balk. Hague advanced him to third on a hit. Fukudome hit a sacrifice fly. And then, you know, we got another gome run from Mauro. Two-run shot to left. And so all of a sudden it's 3-0 before QG even hits the mound, which is great. So you're thinking, okay, QG's got a 3-1 lead, 3-0 lead, I should say. What can he do with it? In the first inning, he walked a guy, and then he plunked Tsutsugo. This name keeps coming up. And so people are worried about his control. He comes out in the second and walks the first two batters that he faces. And so people are like, oh no, QG, are we sure that we're glad to have you back? But he got through the innings without allowing any runs. And I think he went like well over 40 pitches after two innings. But he settled in really well after that, allowing just two hits the rest of the way. And those were actually the only two hits he allowed. They were both singles. He went six innings, allowed no runs, two hits, three walks, one hit batsman, four strikeouts. So QG did well. He kept the team in the game, obviously, because it was 3-0. It was actually 4-0 when he left the game because Yokota and Fukudome hit doubles in the top of the sixth, making the score 4-0. And then the Tigers added to their lead in each of the next innings. They made it 5-0 in the seventh. Home run, pinch hit home run by Fumiya Hojo. It was his fourth career at bat, his third at bat of this season. He has only seen time as a pinch hitter. And he hit it. He hit a line drive over the left field wall. So congratulations to him on his first career home run. In the eighth inning, again, the combination of Yokota and Fukudome gave us another run. And then in the ninth inning, Yamato pinch hit for Nishioka. Who would have thought? But again, Nishioka has not been great this season. Yamato actually laced a double to left center. And then Taiga Egoshi came in as a pinch hitter, and he hit one over the left field fence as well. Two-run home run, his first of the season. So now the score is 8-0. It's party time. We don't need Mateo again. So in the ninth inning, we bring in recently recalled Kazuyuki Kaneda, a guy that we mentioned earlier as the only one that didn't pitch on Thursday. Well, now we can see maybe why he didn't pitch on Thursday or why he hadn't pitched until then and why he may not ever pitch on the big team again, at least for a while, because he allowed a leadoff double followed by an RBI single, followed by a walk, followed by an RBI single. And then he induced a grounder, which also scored a run for them. That was his first out that he recorded, but, you know, he allowed three runs in that time. And then he got the last two outs. But, you know, his ERA now in the season, one inning pitched, three earned runs. He's got an ERA of 27. And that's the number of pitches that he threw in the ninth inning. Any thoughts on today's game, Wiz?
Well, Kaneda can go somewhere else. I mean, we had a shutout going, and all this guy had to do was come in and just get three outs. Oh, man, he gave up three runs instead. That was horrible. Horrible thing to watch. I mean, you know, you could just see the look on everybody's face go from laughter to scowls, man. It was like, what is this guy doing? But it was a good game. I turned it on. It was 4-0. So it was good to see Egoshi hit a home run. Hojo hit a home run. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Hanjo? No, it's Hojo.
Hanjo is what Scotty was calling him, yeah.
So Yamato got into the mix. I mean, you had everybody doing their part today. And so, plus it was Kanemoto's birthday. So what a great birthday present.
Happy birthday, Kanemoto. Yeah, yeah. He's 48 yeah. now, by the way.
And so a good birthday present for Kanemoto, you know, in the end. But yeah, it was... you know, again, shaky relievers, but it's early in the season. But for this guy, yeah, I think he'll go down to the farm here. He should go down to the farm next week, my assumption.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all, for sure. Interestingly, though, the relievers actually did a good job in the first series of the season. And again, you know, it's only against the Dragons, but I think they went 9 1/3 inning total in those three games and allowed just 2 earned runs, which is an ERA of under 2 for the relief squad. So that's actually very good. But yeah, they certainly got tattooed this week. And I haven't calculated their ERA on the week. But, you know, Tsuru got farmed after his meltdown on... what day was that? That was Wednesday, right? It was in relief. Yeah, it was in relief of Iwata. He got farmed and Kaneda got called up, and now Kaneda got, you know, smoked as well. So just between those two guys, I mean, the team ERA took a licking, which is really unfortunate. Something though that I do want to touch on, and actually, you know what? Let's move into another segment, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Something that we definitely need to talk about. Overall in the week, the Tigers went 3 wins, 2 losses, 1 tie. And last week at the start of the show, or at the end of the show, I predicted that the Tigers would go 3-3 on the week. So I was off by just that wee little tie. So, you know, I'm not sad that the Tigers didn't lose, because if they'd lost, I would have been bang on the money. And I actually said they'd win 1 of 3 in Yakult, against Yakult, and 2 of 3 against the Bay Stars. So I really was very close. Anyways, it's not boasting, it's luck. Wiz, during this week, who would you say was the player of the week for the Hanshin Tigers? Or do you have a couple of guys that you would like to throw out some accolades to?
Well, I'll tell you what. I like Haig. I know before the year, you know, and you and I texted a little bit about this. Romac was one name. Haig was another. And I, for the life of me, can't remember the third guy. But anyway,
not in the picture, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter now because I think we got the better of the names. Haig is doing really good. He looks really good at the plate. Real relaxed. I think he got hosed on one pitch today where it was inside and they called it a strike 3. And he wasn't happy with it. I agree. Takayama. I like Yokota. I know you had made a comment about Yokota. I like the kid. You know, let's look at Gomez. You know, 3-3-run homers?
He had 2 this week. He had 2 3-run home runs and 1 2-run home run. Yeah.
Okay. So he's got 3 total home runs this week. I really like the way he is hitting the ball. I like the way they're all hitting the ball. They look more disciplined at the plate, whereas last year it just seemed to me like they're swinging at everything. I think they have a better eye for the ball now. So with that said, if I wanted to just toss accolades out, it'd be to the whole entire team. Minus Nishioka and Toritani, because they're way behind the power curve, you know, yep. Way behind. So as far as picking one out of the group, I'd have to say Gomez. That's my choice for the week, just because he's dumped in the most contributions. Not to use, like, you know, Fukudomi's doing his part too, but I'm going to go with Gomez.
Okay, fair enough. I may counter that with Haig, but actually, I'm actually going to go with Fukudome. And the reason is that he's come through at times that the team needed it. He actually accounted for 3 of the 5 RBIs today. And also, just when I look at his strikeout-to-walk ratio, he's got 8 walks to 4 strikeouts on the year. So obviously, his keen eye for balls and strikes is still there. And I don't know, you didn't see very much of the action this week, but every time that he struck out, it seemed to be a strikeout looking. And after he watched a ball being called a strike, or at least according to him, he would kind of glare at the ump like, are you kidding? That was not a strike. So, you know, he's in fine form as far as seeing the ball well. But also, I want to throw out that Haig also on the year so far, he struck out twice today. And again, one of them was kind of a weak call. So if you add those strikeouts in, he's got 5 strikeouts on the year to 7 walks. And he got hit by the ball once as well. But he has just been really good. Like, just watching him, he has laid off a lot of pitches. And I've seen opposing pitchers throw a lot of junk to Haig, and I think one of the reasons is they're kind of going, okay, this is a foreign guy. You know, he's probably looking to make a name for himself early. He's probably looking to, you know, show us Japanese who's the boss or who rules baseball. So we're going to see if we can make him look foolish by swinging at our bad pitches. Man, he did not swing at many bad pitches at all. In fact, I was watching the game on Saturday, I believe it was, and I was making note that some of the balls that they were calling strikes, not necessarily just to Haig, but to a lot of the batters, I think particularly left-handed batters. Man, that ump was extremely generous on the outside corner, and he was really stingy on the inside corner. He was not calling the inside strike, even if it seemed like it was actually hitting the plate. Whereas on the outside strike, there were a couple balls that were actually fully into the other batter's box, like the right-handed hitter's batter's box. Like it was on that side of the white chalk, and he still called them strikes. And I was like, you gotta be kidding. Like, I mean, I think even some of the hitters were looking at the ump, even the Japanese hitters, they were like, oh, really? So, but honestly, like on the season, the Tigers overall are showing great plate discipline. They've got, not counting today, 51 strikeouts to 38 walks as a team. That's pretty impressive. And that doesn't include Gomez's intentional walk. So 39 walks, I guess. So good job for the team overall in that respect.
Oh, I think that's kind of, I get a vibe. Like that's Kanemoto's, like, you're going to be a disciplined hitter. You don't have to be a power hitter, you know, cause I think one game we had 11 hits, one game we had 10. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, how many times last year did we see the Tigers get like 11, 14, 12 hits? It wasn't often, you know, if I can remember correctly. But I think if I was just trying to predict what he was, you know, teaching these guys throughout their spring training was, you're going to be a disciplined hitter. You don't have to power the ball over the fence every time, but a disciplined hitter to where you're not going to swing at bad pitches. And if you make contact with the ball, you know, it'll end up as a hit. You know, you're not always going for the home run every time. So unless you're going
quite the contrary. He was actually encouraging them to swing hard and swing fully and not just try to make contact and get the dinky hit for the most part. So like, I don't know what's different. I mean, sure, there might be some Kanemoto effect, but it might just be team atmosphere and just building off each other. Man, you know, we've been talking for over an hour, Wiz, and I don't want to go super overtime. There's a lot of other stuff that I do want to talk about. Like I do want to talk about Takayama and Yokota at the top of the order. I want to talk about what the ideal hitting order is for this team. Maybe which players need to go down to the farm and get some work there. Which catcher is best suited for which pitcher. Man, there's so much to talk about. It's a new season. It's exciting. It's great to speculate about all this stuff, but we're not going to be able to get to it now. So because of time constraints, we're actually going to jump right into predictions for next week, if that's all right, Wiz. And as I told you before recording, and I think I might have shared this with everybody out there before, I kind of want to play like a year-long predictions game with you. And again, a lot of times the predictions are just luck. It's not like, you know, we're, you know, fortune tellers or that we're geniuses just because we get it right or whatever. It just might be the, you know, the luck of our call. But I want to kind of pile up stats for the whole week and see how we do in our predictions. So, like for example, if I pick a 3-3 week and you pick a 4-2 week and the team goes 6-0, you were off by 2 wins and I was off by 3 wins. So I get 3 points and you get 2, and it's like golf, low score wins. So, are you up for that for the year?
Yeah, I'm good. Let's try it out.
Okay, and if there's any week that you can't be with us for the podcast, or if there's any week that we just don't do a podcast, like we'll still exchange texts or whatever, and then we can mention it the next time in or whatever. But so just so everybody knows, this week we're finishing up our 9-game road trip against the Yomiuri Giants. We'll be playing at Tokyo Dome for 3. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're looking at probably having Fujinami, Iwata, Messenger, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday we will be at Koshien for the first time this season. And it's looking like Nomi, Iwasada, Fujikawa, at least based on how they did this past weekend. So what are your predictions? What do you think? How's the team going to do in these 6 days?
Okay, so it's the Giants and the Carp.
And the Carp, sorry. We're playing at home against the Carp.
Yeah, the Carp. Well, I'm not impressed with the Carp. every year I'm not impressed with the carp. So, and you know, I don't like the Giants. So I am going, I'm going big. I think Messenger and Iwata redeem themselves against the Giants. I think we're going to have 4-2. I think we are going to, I think we'll lose one to the Giants. And, you know, obviously I think we lose one to the Carp or maybe two to the Giants and then sweep the Carp, but not sure. I'm going to go 4-2.
4-2. Okay. I actually, will go for 3-3, which I also did last week. And, you know, as I've said, every time I predict something like this or worse, I want better, but I just think this is what is going to be. And so I'm going to go 3-3, and I'm going to say 1-2 against the Giants and 2-1 against the Carp. But let's see what goes down. So there you have it. Those are our predictions. It's been great having you all listening in. And I love the feedback that I get on Twitter, especially. I think that's probably where I get the most feedback about the podcast. But if you want to contact us anytime, the email address is podcast@thehunchingtigers.com. Hit us up with questions, your own personal predictions, your own requests for the show. If there's anything you want to know about the Tigers' history or the Tigers' current situation, hit us up with some questions. We'd love to put them on the show and address them so that you can have your questions answered. Otherwise, you can, of course, join us on the Facebook page. We've got the Hanshin Tigers Facebook page and the Hanshin Tigers Facebook group. And I think there's been a clear distinction now made. The group really is for everybody to join in during games and just kind of share. It's almost like we're cheering together, we're booing together, we're, you know, doing all that stuff together. And so we usually post links to you know, where you can find the game online to watch live, and then we just kind of chat away during the game. And then the page itself is where I'll post like kind of daily short summaries. I'll post interesting news articles, and that's where I put all of the blog updates go there first. So feel free to join both of those. And again, Twitter, I am at the Hanshin Tiger, and Wizzo is?
Well, right now I am at WHIZOH, and that's on Twitter.
You say right now, are you planning to change that?
No, but once this political season is over, I'm going to be deleting a lot of people. So excuse what you see now, but I will talk Hanshin Tiger baseball with anybody out there. All right. So, follow me if you can.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I've kind of made myself a deal or a promise or whatever. Anytime that the Tigers end the week in first place, we will be listening to the Hanshin Tigers Ichiban song, but otherwise we're going to be filling it with something else. So it's been great having you all on the show, and stay tuned. We will be back next week at this time. In fact, we may have a special podcast in between. We may have a vodcast in between. Anyways, go Tigers, go, and let's continue to cheer them on all together. It's been great chatting with you, Wiz. Have a great week.
Yeah, likewise. You do the same.
All right. Bye-bye.